Blog Talk Radio.
Of your life. I want to present to some and introduce to others your host for Anything But Ordinary Radio, Mr. Michael McCleary.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Anything But Ordinary Radio. I'm your host, Michael McCleary. I am so excited to have all of you with us as I am every week. We have a great show, an amazing show, some great guests, both friends of mine, both in the entertainment industry, well, entertainment / news media. And this is going to be really exciting because we're going to talk about success in the entertainment industry tonight. And really, we talk really every week about success, and that's something we talk about, focus on a lot, is really this concept of what is success, following your passion, following your dreams, creating the life that you want to create out of everything that you're doing, this journey that we have every day that we go on. So I'm really excited to have our two guests with us tonight. Bree Wolf will be with us in the second half of the hour. She is the founder and president of You. Why am I forgetting it right now? Bree, and Bree's going to shoot me because I know she's listening. United TV. Sorry, why is it UnitedTV.com? I've been talking about that all day, and then I couldn't remember it when we got on the radio. But she is the founder of an amazing, it's really cool, and we'll talk a little bit about what she does. And also in the top of the hour, we have film producer Bob Brown is going to be with us. He has produced a number of films, and especially what's cool is he's done a lot of films in the state of Michigan. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about creating films, because Bob didn't originally come to the film industry from film school. You know, he had a similar story, a similar journey that I had, coming out of a totally different industry than film. So we're going to be talking to Bob here at the top of the hour as well. But first, I'd like to introduce our wonderful co-host who's back full-time with us now. She's back from Greece, Maria DiGiovanni. She is with us from L.A. Maria, how are you doing tonight?
I am good, Michael. How are you doing today?
I am great. I'm excited. We're going to have a fun show. And I'm glad to have you back. And it's funny, I see Jed is posting in the chat room that you are back in the saddle. So, yes, you are.
I need to check out the chat room. Yeah, well, I missed it, and I'm missing Greece really, really bad right now, but I'm really glad to be back on the show, and let's move forward and get some interviewing done. I'm itching to do it, so let's go.
You're itching to be back?
I'm itching to do it. Yeah.
It's funny that Jed posted that turn back in the saddle. Before the show, about a half an hour before the show, I was actually looking up that old Aerosmith tune, Back in the Saddle, because I'm getting back into being a lot more active, working out again. I took some time off after my triathlon, and just really getting back in the swing of things, and that song really kind of made me think about, you know, getting back and working out. It's funny that Jed posts that, and you're doing the same thing. You're back in the saddle with our doing our interviews.
Yep, exactly. Just keep going.
Keep going and keep pushing. Anything that you want to share? I mean, well, we had you on last week, of course, because you were back and talked a bit about your experience in Greece. But what's new? Anything new this week that you'd like to share before we get to our first guest?
Just like I said, I'm lining everything up. It's almost like playing a huge chess game right now, making sure that everything is going forward in Greece, that we started and everything is continues to go forward here with the Junior Ambassador Program, and we have the knighting ceremony at the end of this month, and that's really exciting, and we have the Crime Survivors event this weekend at the Orange County Sheriff's Department. There's a lot of puzzle pieces coming together right now, so I'm really excited about it, but I really am missing my lifestyle in Greece. It's a lot different, Michael, there than it is here. And I really, the balance is almost perfect there. So I'm hoping to establish that here. But that's what I've been doing for the last 2 weeks and focusing and, like I said, really missing everybody over on the island of Crete right now really bad. So we need to focus on doing a show so I can share with you all of my amazing sponsors over there and everybody who took care of me. I would love to introduce you to them all.
Well, we're definitely going to do that. We're going to do a show just on Greece. I think it'd be a really good time, especially on that island of Crete. We will be talking about that. Really quickly for our listeners, because we always ask this of our people we have on our interviews, our guests, where can people find out more about you real quick, Maria, before we jump into our first interview?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, wow.
Well, you have so many things going on, and there's a lot of things that people can get involved with, you know, in helping all these programs you're doing to help women, help young girls. It's a real important thing, and so I just want our listeners to check out what you're doing.
The easiest way to get a hold of me or look me up is through LinkedIn, if you've ever heard of that website,
mm-hmm.
LinkedIn, Maria DiGiovanni, Facebook, of course, and then you can always go to the ministry's website, which is forbeyondthegreen.org. But again, it's more about having the women that are contacting me really understand what their passions are before they contact me, so then we can move forward with helping them reach those goals.
Yeah, and Maria helps a lot of women with who are survivors of domestic abuse and a lot of other things. And in fact, Maria's job is 24/7. People don't realize it. She was just on the call with somebody before the show. I mean, she's always doing something, working with different women any time of the day or night that they need, you know, her. She is there. And so I just, you know, want to salute you in what you're doing, Maria, because it's a really important thing that you do.
It's actually, you know, my purpose. And so once you figure out what your purpose is, and I think everybody is striving to figure out what their purpose is, then you can learn how to live the life you're supposed to live with that purpose. So, woohoo! At least I found mine. So,
well, that's a perfect segue. It's a perfect segue into our first guest. It's a perfect segue into our quote of the day because, as everybody knows, well, maybe not everybody who's tuning in for the first time, but those who tune in regularly, I share a quote at the beginning of each show. If you visit my Facebook page, I share a quote every day. And today's quote really kind of goes along with that. It's by David Frost, and it says, "Don't aim for success if you want it. Just do what you love and believe in it, and it will come naturally." So right there, as you said, you know, follow your purpose, follow your passion, and success will come. It's going to be difficult. There's going to be rocky roads, but it will come if you believe in it and go forward. And, in fact, one of the exciting things for me, right before we get to Bob here in just a moment, is I'm having my first on my own kind of speaking engagement, which is really exciting because besides just, you know, going and speaking for different individuals and organizations, I'm doing my first event. It's my own workshop, and it starts November 10th. We will have a website up on Wednesday, so tomorrow you can be able to buy tickets, and it's at the Lake Huron Retreat Center, which is in Northport, which is between Lexington, Michigan, and Port Huron, Michigan, and we're going to have a day really designed for businesses and entrepreneurs to get an opportunity to not only work together and experience building relationships with each other, but really learning some keys to success for the business. Rita Dahman is going to be sharing the stage with me, and we are going to have a great time, a great workshop, and so I'm really excited to do that. That's coming up next month already. I can't believe it.
Wow, very, very exciting. Yes, keep us posted so we can keep an eye on it.
Oh, we will. We're going to be doing more. We're planning them all over the country, and we're working on those, and we will get those out really soon. So exciting times. But like David Frost said, just do what you love and believe in it, and it will come naturally. And with that,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to get to our first guest who has definitely done that in his life. A little background on Bob before we introduce him. Well, I guess we are introducing him, but he began his film career in 1999, co-founding Purple Rose Films with Michigan actor, writer, and director Jeff Daniels. After producing Escanaba and the Moonlight, which is a really funny film, for those of you who have not seen it, it is a great film, and it was one of the top grossing independent feature films in 2001. He also produced A Picture from Home and Super Sucker. Bob created Charity Island Pictures in 2004. Since then, he has produced three additional feature films, and he's committed to furthering the growth of the feature film industry in Michigan's new creative economy. He's a founding and second-term member of the Michigan Film Advisory Council, and he was contracted by the state and authored the 2007 baseline study, which really supported the 2008 Michigan film legislation. And for those of you who aren't in Michigan, it's a big thing that's going on in Michigan, because there's film legislation that is really bringing a lot of shows, a lot of TV shows. Detroit 187, for example, which is on right now as we speak on ABC, is now being filmed in Detroit, Michigan. There's also a number of movies, lots of movies that have been made based on incentives the state has created to create a movie and film and TV industry here in the state, and Bob has been very influential in that process. So I'm excited to have him talk to us about really creating your dreams and your success, because he's done that himself. Bob Brown, how are you doing tonight?
Very well, Michael. How are you?
I am great.
Good. So
good.
Hi, Maria.
Bob and I have we've had the opportunity to meet. It's kind of funny the way our paths have crossed, because Bob is from the western suburbs of Detroit, which is the same as myself. But he also has a home up here on the shores of Lake Huron, and I have moved up here. And so it's just kind of funny how we've kind of crossed our paths in doing this. And Bob, you didn't originally come to filmmaking wasn't your original passion or the original job that you had. Tell us a little bit about what you did before, you know, you started producing and making films and getting in the film industry, and what brought you into this industry? What was the tipping point?
Well, Michael, my background was financial services, and I had a fairly typical life in the sense that I married my high school sweetheart, and I graduated from college, and moved back to her hometown, and we started a life together, and I was in the financial services industry building my own practice. And I recognized fairly early on that I was going to make a fine living doing that, but my goal was to, you know, take the nest egg that traditionally was created at age 65 and move it up to 35. So in order to do that, I recognized I had to split myself in half and go out and, you know, quote-unquote, build something. I had to create something of value, maximize that value, and then move on. So I, at the tender young age of 27, started kind of a multiple life or a dual life, and I actually got involved with the early stages of Blockbuster Video and with a couple of fraternity brothers from college. And we started a Blockbuster Video franchise, and that opportunity led to another opportunity, and that opportunity led to another opportunity. And, you know, a few years later, I found myself a father of some baby girls, and I was, you know, typically appropriately paranoid about being the father of baby girls, and I was trying to figure out how I could build, you know, the character of these individuals so that they could go out and conquer the world in any way that they chose to. And what happened is they started performing at a local dance studio, and it really did a great deal for their self-esteem and their confidence. And so I ended up buying that dance studio and broadening the scope of that curriculum to include acting and singing and music lessons, things beyond simply dance. And that really led to another opportunity, which I found myself in need of classroom instructors to teach the acting component. And make a, you know, a longer story as short as possible, what happened is, as you know, Jeff Daniels has a regional theater company in his hometown of Chelsea, Michigan, which is 20 minutes west of Ann Arbor. And I called the Purple Rose Theater and said, hey, are there any actors who'd like to make a few bucks and teaching these kids how to act? And one thing led to another, and Jeff and I became pals, and one day I simply posed the question, what do you want to do besides act? And his response was, I want to make a movie. And I go, that's interesting. And a couple years later, I found myself on the set of Escanaba the Moonlight, And we were fortunate that our freshman effort really struck a chord and became a cult classic and was successful in a very challenging, in entertainment environment. And I found myself having the time of my life because, you know, I know that I'm a storyteller. I just always struggled trying to find the medium to tell the stories, and I found that film was the perfect vehicle for me, and that's kind of what launched my career. And so 11 years later, I've made six movies and started a music company and a record label and write. Now I'm a screenwriter as well, and so the entertainment industry is really where I felt, at long last, felt at home.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I want to go back to one thing that you said there that I didn't know about the story and how it worked out. As you said, you asked Jeff Daniels, you asked him, what do you want to do besides acting? And he said he wanted to make movies. And it's interesting how those questions that we ask not only of ourselves but other people can create all this energy. And here you are, like you said, a number of years later, and you've made six films, and a lot of it quite possibly came from you asking that one question.
Well, it really was all. And the reason why I asked the question was because, in all honesty, I couldn't figure it out. I don't get how somebody is satisfied spending their life pretending to be somebody else. And so I was curious because, you know, I knew him, and we were, you know, we weren't best of buddies, but I knew him, and I just thought, you know, is there anything else that's out there floating in your world that you know, you'd like to pursue? Because, you know, my path had been, you know, multiple businesses and multiple opportunities and one opportunity leading to the next. But I never in a million years thought that by posing that question, you know, that I would end up in the movie business. But when he said, you know, I want to make a movie, I thought, well, that would be fun. You know, and my response is, well, you know, we're a couple of smart guys. Why don't we do that? And he looked at me and he goes,
right.
Well, you know, do you know how to make a movie? And I go, well, no. I go, well, you do. And he goes, no, I don't have a clue. I've been in 25 movies, but I don't know how to make one. And so I just said, you know, hey, we can figure this out. Let's have a go and see what happens. And away
you
went.
Yeah, and your first, like you said, your freshman effort, which was Escanaba and the Moonlight, was a huge success.
It was a huge success. I have to tell you one quick story, you know, because I am a storyteller.
Sure, no.
But
the best day, we're here to talk about stories.
The best day in my entertainment career life was we had made this movie, and, you know, I had no idea if it would be a good movie, a bad movie, you know, a terrible movie. I had no idea. And, I knew it was a different movie. And I knew it was a different movie because I read the screenplay, and even though I didn't know anything about, you know, screenplays, I thought, man, this is a weird screenplay. And, and I go, people are going to love this movie or they're going to hate it. There's no middle ground on this movie. And, but we made the movie, and, of course, you know, you manufacture this subjective piece of intellectual property. You take it to the marketplace, and you hope the marketplace embraces it. And the marketplace is Hollywood. You take it to Hollywood, and you say, okay, guys, you're in the distribution business. Distribute my movie. And they all watched the movie, and they were scratching their heads saying, we don't get it. I mean, we don't get it. And so those, you know, all of the industry kind of fell on the hate side of the equation. And so I'm thinking, let's see. So the traditional mechanism has rejected, you know, our effort. But we're getting good feedback on it from people. So I was smart enough, and not to pat myself on the back, but I was smart enough to say no to anybody who wanted more money during the production process. So I actually had money in the bank left over from our initial raise. And I went to Jeff and said, you know, Hollywood doesn't seem to get it. I've got $500,000 left. Why don't we just release it ourselves? And he goes, well, do you know how to release a movie? And I go, no, I don't have a clue. But, you know, we can probably figure it out. We're a couple of smart guys. And so we did. We released the movie independently. And I picked Super Bowl weekend of 2001 because I knew I wouldn't be going against any Hollywood blockbusters because they traditionally won't release a movie on Super Bowl weekend. And I booked the screens, and we only had enough money for 27 prints. And so we opened on 27 screens in Michigan on Super Bowl weekend in 2001, and we were the number one screen average in the country that weekend. And, again, the film ended up becoming one of the highest-grossing independent films in 2001. We ended up grossing $2.3 million in basically two states, Michigan and Wisconsin, on 27 screens. We crossed $1 million in 10 days. And the best day of my life, because in 2001 people were still faxing you information, and I walked in my office on Saturday morning, and all the theaters had sent in the Friday night grosses, and every theater sold out. I mean, they were just, every theater sold out. They just, you know, big congratulations, and they're giving me the gross numbers, and I'm looking at this thinking, holy cow, you know, I think we're gonna make some dough. And I called Jeff, and he goes, well, how do we do? And I said, I think we'd have a hit. And he goes, well, why do you say that? And I go, because we sold out almost every house, you know. I mean, sold out. And he says, you got to be kidding me. And I said, no. So that Monday morning, my phone rang off the hook, because that information is published industry-wide, with every, you know, booker in the country wanting to get a prize. And I'm thinking, I don't have any money in the bank, you guys. I can't even go out and, you know, and make more prints and ship them to you in time for you to release them, you know, on Friday. But it was just one of those things where we found the niche, and it really worked. And so that was truly one of the best days of my life in the film career, because not only did we not know how to make a movie, and we made one that, you know, we also didn't know how to distribute a movie, and we distributed it on our own, and it worked. And the thing is that Escanaba and the Moonlight is a quirky movie, but it's this little engine that could. It just continues to do business, you know, month after month, year after year. The movie's been out for 10 years now, and it's still a fan favorite. You know, it definitely has become a cult classic, so it's been rewarding. I wish all of my movies I made, you know, had the same track record. But it's really not the nature of the business. As in life, you have some hits and you have some misses. But Escanaba was definitely a hit. It's fun to look back and to think about, you know, was it talent? Was it luck? Yes, it was. It was luck. And try to take that knowledge, parlay that knowledge, and, you know, turn it into, you know, hopefully success of a future project as my career has gone down the road.
Bob, maybe it was the inspiration of your children dancing. So what do your children inspire you to do now, and how old are they?
Interestingly enough, my eldest the two older ones are girls, and her name is Randin, R-A-N-D-I-N, and Randin is in the movie business. She's actually a second AD working on a teeny tiny movie that's in production right now called Terminator 3, which I think is the biggest movie being made. So the fun thing about that is they actually came to Michigan. They spent a month in Michigan, so she was here working in Michigan for a month, which was, it's just so nice having her in the same time zone as far as, you know, talking every day. But she's followed my footsteps as far as the industry is concerned. And, of course, both Randin and her sister Mallory were in Escanaba the Moonlight. And so, you know, they were young and in their formative years, and they thought, wow, this is a pretty cool, it's a pretty cool gig if you can get it. And so Randin is, she's an entertainment professional. Mallory, she's 26, Mallory's 24, and Mallory has just started. She's got the entrepreneurial bug, and I'm very proud of her because she came to me last January and said, so I got this idea. And Mal is a world traveler. She is fascinated by the different cultures of the world and the different people of the world, and she's been, you know, all the way around the globe. And what she has learned was that, you know, when you're a young person and you're traveling around the world and you're doing it on the cheap with a backpack, you know, you get to know the people. And she became aware that the people in third world countries, you know, food is a problem and water is a problem, But what also is a problem is clothing, because most people, when they asked her for something, they asked for her clothes. And it didn't matter if it was a sweatshirt or a T-shirt or a pair of jeans or sunglasses or whatever, but it was always the clothing they were after. So Mel has created a company and just launched it about 3 weeks ago. It's an online retail company called World Clothesline. And basically, the theory behind the World Clothesline is that you buy, we give, and together we clothe the world. So when you buy, when you go online and you buy a shirt or a sweatshirt or a pair of pants, World Clothesline matches that gift with a sweatshirt, a T-shirt, or a pair of pants. And then Mal will, she has relationships with the three countries that she's adopted, which are Indonesia, Peru, and the United States, and she's going to donate clothing to people in need in those three countries. So so she has which is, well, I think, just totally awesome, because she has created a for-profit entity, but it has a philanthropic mission as part of its goal. And she launched that company, you know, 2 weeks ago, and she's off and running. And it's really been fun to watch her, you know, go through the steps of creating something from scratch, you know, in the passion and the dedication and the drive, you know, and the desire to make that a success has been real, real fun to watch. And she's off to a real strong start. So that's what they're doing now.
Very good.
Maria, for those of you who are listening, please feel free to jump in our chat room. If you click on the little chat icon, you can join our chat room. And Maria just posted that link for anybody who is interested to worldclothesline.com. And Maria actually has a little statement in the chat room, which I think is awesome. Bob, I think you have someone to connect. So, Maria, you want to share that?
Well, I take care, help with a woman and children's shelter in Greece, and right now we're looking for organizations such as your daughter's to help us clothe the women and the children that are in the orphanage and in the shelter. So this is, I love connecting dots and making things work for the benefit of everybody. So I'd love to connect with your daughter.
Absolutely. She'd love to connect with you as well. And you know, check out her webpage and it's worldclothesline.com, and that's the way people impact people.
Exactly. And just listening to you and your story inspires me, because when anyone asks me how do you do this, you don't know how to do things sometimes, and so you created this movie by not knowing what to do, but you figured it out yourself. So your story is very inspirational. And I would love to discuss more with you certain projects that I want to get done in Greece. And have you ever thought about doing a movie or a TV show that's basically a fundraiser for nonprofit organizations?
Well, that's interesting, because I have a story, a screenplay that I wrote. It's based on a true story, and it is an inspirational film called The Bassmaster. And if you Google a guy whose name is Brian Kerchal, K-E-R-C-H-A-L, you'll find out that Brian was one of those, you know, people tend to like, you know, ordinary person accomplish extraordinary feat. You know, those are thematically positive stories that people generally assimilate towards. Brian actually was, you know, and I don't mean this in a critical way, but simply from an observation, he was probably less than ordinary, you know, who accomplished an extraordinary feat. And so Ryan was a young man who basically won, as an amateur angler, fisherman, he won the World Series of bass fishing as an amateur. And he's the only person who's ever done it in the history of the sport. And the sport is massive. A massive worldwide phenomenon, bass fishing. It's unbelievable. You know, you combine almost all the other sports together, and people have no idea how large. It's second only to NASCAR. Brian accomplished this, and then tragically was killed in a plane crash shortly thereafter. But the interesting thing about Brian was, you know, when we started talking about the story, you know, he suffered from an extreme social anxiety disorder. And as we did our research and the screenplay was written, you know, and it evolved and evolved, kind of correlated or timed with the discovery of the number of undiagnosed autistic kids, you know, that have come up, you know, through the generations. And if you go back and you look at Brian, you could, and I've talked to the Autism Society and all that, and, you know, he could have been undiagnosed, highly functional autistic person. And so I've actually talked to Autism Speaks about working together to, you know, because we all remember Rain Man, and we all remember how that defined what autism, a savant, you know, Dustin Hoffman's character was a savant, and that was what people correlated to autism. Well, you know, times are different, and now a typical autistic child is functional, and a lot of them are highly functional, but they suffer, you know, they suffer from this disease, and so I've been trying to find a way if we can partner between Autism Speaks and the film, simply to redefine, you know, society's perception of what autism is, you know, and so I have, but I haven't closed the circle. It's something that's in discussion right now, and we're trying to find a way to make that work. But yeah,
well,
it would be funding the movie and making the not-for-profit a partner in the exercise, so they would benefit financially.
Well, yeah, Maria and Bob, I'm definitely going to connect the two of you after after this, because you have a lot. No. I mean, well, we're almost out of time. Yeah, basically we're out of time on this segment, but I'm going to connect the two of you because you have a lot to talk about. And I want to encourage everyone who's listening to this, because I think it's great, not only what Bob's daughter Mallory is doing, but also Bob, too. I mean, if there's ways we can find people to, you know, really give back. You know, what is it that you're doing that you're an entrepreneur with, or you're making money, or whatever it is you're doing? What ways can you give back? And I think it's awesome when businesses and individuals find ways to make it part of their mission to give back. And I really encourage people to do that. And I'm glad that Bob has been such a great inspiration. And there's so much more to Bob's story. There's so much more for us to share, and we're already out of time in this half an hour. So, Bob, I'm definitely going to have you back if you'd like to come back, because we have
more
to talk about.
My pleasure.
Real quickly, though, one thing I'd like to ask all of our guests before we go on to bring on Bree is, what's your one thing that you would recommend to anybody who is looking to make a change in their life, whether it's they're looking to start a business or get out of the job they're doing or make some type of change? And you've gone through that, and you've been very successful. What main recommendation would you give?
I think that my recommendation, and when I go back and I look at the different businesses that I've started and the adventures that I've been on, it's just to have the courage to do it, because, you know, the regret in life, from my perspective, is saying, I wish I would have. And, you know, thankfully, you know, my goals in life are to stand up in the morning and walk in the bathroom and look in the mirror and like the guy that I'm looking at just a little bit more than I liked them the day before. And that's pretty much my goal in life. So if I feel that way, then I know I'm making a positive impact, and I know that I'm accomplishing my goal. But none of that would have happened, you know, if I didn't say, you know, none of this would have happened if I didn't say it sounds like fun, you know. I don't really know how to pull it off, but I'm sure I can figure it out. And just go out and figure it out. Because, you know, candidly, you know, all of what we do, none of what we do is rocket science. You know, the only guys that are rocket scientists, and all the rest of us, you know, are out there just trying to figure things out. So from my perspective, it's just about having the courage to do it.
I couldn't agree with you more, and it's funny because we both ask those same questions. There's no, why can't we do this? Same thing with me making my first film, and it's led to this talk, this radio show and my film and my meeting you and everything else. It's just kind of funny that we both asked that same question, and here we are today talking. So, Bob Brown, thank you so much for taking some time out of your evening to share with us, and we are definitely going to have you back.
Okay, great. I appreciate it. Thanks, Michael. Thanks, Maria.
Bob, thanks again, Maria.
See you later, Bob. It was nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you, too.
I'm definitely going to connect the two of you afterwards. I'll get your information to each other tomorrow. So thanks again, Bob.
You bet. Bye-bye.
All right. You were just listening to film producer and creator of Charity Island Pictures, Bob Brown. He was just with us. Great story. We were going to have him on again as well. And Jed Ray, our good friend Jed Ray is in the chat room saying, connect me too. So everybody wants to talk to Bob now. Maria, anything to add before we bring on Bree?
No, just I've got a lot of questions for him, but the same questions I always have for you. So when it comes to filmmaking, I have big dreams, you know?
I know you do, and we got to make them a reality, and that's why I want to connect you and Bob.
I know. It has to happen, so.
Well, without further ado, because we're getting so far into the show, it's always a good show. You know, we're moving along really quickly, and the hour is flying by. Our next guest is Bree Wolf, and she's the founder and president of United TV. She previously spent 5 years working with top public relations firms in New York, and on behalf of United TV, she has hosted and produced media for events such as the Honda Classic, NASCAR Truck Series, and Diane von Furstenberg's Hollywood Fashion Show. She works with small and mid-sized companies as well as national charities, including the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Research Foundation. And this year she had the honor to interview Ambassador Nancy G. Brinker. She takes her New York City experience and solid Rolodex, man, I can't speak tonight, and combines it with trusted personnel to increase the activity, visibility, and profitability of businesses and services. And I love this part. She's known as the Uniter. Bree Wolf, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
She's there.
Bree, are you with us?
Can you hear me? Oh, there you are.
I can hear you now. Sorry about that.
No problem, and thank you for having me, Michael and Maria.
How are you, Bree?
We are so excited to have you.
I'm doing well. I just got back to Florida. I was visiting some family in North Carolina and talking about nature. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
Okay, great. So, you know, one nice date to another for nature and relaxation. We had the trees and the hills and the mountains in North Carolina and back to the Sunshine State. Very good.
It's funny because here I am in Michigan where it's a little cold. Bob is as well. And you are enjoying yourself down in Florida. And Maria's out in California. So, you know, yeah.
Vacations.
Yeah. And for those of you who haven't listened, who have heard the show before, Bree has been with us as well. And but we haven't really had a chance to really talk a lot about your story, Bree. The last time you were on, you were the panel of different women, four different women. And I really wanted to kind of talk to you about, you know, it's kind of a similar situation. How did you get involved? You were in PR, and then you decided to launch this this company. How did you come up with the idea, and what drove you to create United TV?
What drove me to create United was there was such a negative, and I believe there still is, media, and we really need positive news, so that's what can go around based on the laws of attraction. When we all come together, we all benefit. I was working with the main publications in Manhattan, and I did very well at a young age, but I wasn't happy. That wasn't my purpose. What I loved about it was meeting people and helping them figure out goals and solutions to whatever it is that they needed to come up with. So working with the publishers, whether it was needing to lower their paper costs, because paper is a $1 trillion industry that no one thinks about, if they're able to save hundreds of thousands of dollars, then I helped them achieve that particular goal. But really, I loved an audience. And since the age of 5, I used to play Vanna White in kindergarten. I mean, I had always loved an audience. So to combine the positive news with an audience where other people can benefit by learning a message accurately conveyed by whoever it is we're interviewing. So I founded the company a little over a year and a half ago, and we are well over 1 million viewers right now, and it's all positive and accurate. So whatever you want to figure out or watch, it's almost like a Yelp or a city search, but instead of reading a review, you watch a video on what you're interested in. So if it's an event, for example, we're covering an event on Saturday called Think Pink Rocks, and 50 Cent, Akon, Chantel, there's going to be a lot of different performers in Boca. There's about 5,000 people coming out, and all the proceeds are going to go to breast cancer research.
Nice.
So all these charities are going to benefit by these hip-hop artists coming out, and I tied in a hairdresser who is going to actually put pink beads in my hair and pink extensions, and then her name's Tanya, Designs by Tanya over at Salon 300 in Boca, and all the proceeds are going to go to charity. Or a fashion designer will send in a dress, and then proceeds, again, will go to these charities. So all these people are coming together. Musicians will donate music, and we'll incorporate that in the editing aspect. And what happens is all of a sudden on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, they're all posting these messages, oh, check out our dress on the host, or check out the hair extensions, and then everyone's coming together and everyone's benefiting.
I understand that concept. It's a way to work. I love it.
It's just like you and Bob were just speaking about. I mean, literally, it's you had an idea he was thinking about the other day. You have a radio show, and now you're going to make it happen.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's what we're here to do, and that's a big thing, is just making it happen. But and for you, Bree, you've been all over the country. It's so funny trying to follow you on Facebook, because I'm never quite sure where you're going to be from week to week. When we have a vision or a goal, for example, you know, for you it was to create this company. Is it what you expected? Is it different? In the year and a half since you started this business, what has become of it? Is it exactly what you expected? Is it different? Is it more exciting, less exciting? What was your reaction to that question?
Because it's still so new, I think that my expectations have definitely been surpassed, but I didn't really know what to expect. You know, one of my favorite quotes is, we plan, God laughs. And all I knew is that I wanted to do businesses, but I had no idea I was going to get so involved with charitable organizations. I mean, not just breast cancer research, but we've worked with the MS Society, multiple sclerosis, Terry Fox for Cancer. So I think that that's been a really uplifting surprise. As well as I was looking to grow one market, we're in about 10 different states right now. So it's really exciting, you know, to hear you say, I watch you all over the place, because, you know, whether it's Raleigh or L.A. or New Jersey or Pennsylvania or New York City for Fashion Week or Seattle, we have markets in Indiana and Chicago. I mean, it's really exciting because I have this idea to do it in one area, but now we have all these guest hosts that can actually unite businesses and events in different states. And we're hopefully going to take this national, just like the Social Network movie that just came out, and, you know, bring it to a whole nother level.
So what is that next level for you? And I know Maria's got a question for you, and I'll let her pop in next, but I want to follow up on that really quickly. What is that? This is one of the questions we ask a lot of people sometimes. What is that next level? What do you see next for Bree Wolf and United TV?
I'm finishing up my business plan. I'm working with a great company called Financial Support Services, and it should be ready the first week in November. And because we want to go national, we're going to need an investor. And that next level is going to happen hopefully before the holidays, so that we can set up teams throughout the United States and just continue helping different small businesses and events convey their messages, because it's getting to a point where we're having 3 or 4 shoots in a day, and right now we just can't handle that traffic. I mean, it's very exciting, especially in this economy, but what we need to do is, you know, not only be able to do 3 or 4 in various states, but maybe have 10, 20 going on a day in different states. In order to do that, once the business plan is complete, hopefully some capital will come in and we'll do it.
Maria?
I'm here. But there's something really funny going on with the phone. I'm having a hard time listening. But Bree, a little bit about how you are balancing your career with your personal life, with all your other things. How are you doing keeping yourself focused and being able to move forward at the same time? For us entrepreneur women out here, I'm asking this question.
Can everyone hear me okay? I don't know if it's on my end because I see in the chat room they're having volume issues.
Mm-hmm.
Am I okay?
Yeah,
is it the whole channel?
You're getting louder and softer, but you know what? We've only got, 10 minutes left or whatever. So don't, I guess this is one of those things where this is what I encourage people to do is, we have a little issue, but Bree, we can hear you.
Okay,
so just roll with it.
So the answer to Maria's question, yes, technology, really. career, personal, I'm doing what I love, so to me it's easy to incorporate my personal life into what I'm doing. I think sometimes what's the most challenging thing for me is to not be working because United TV is really my world. So if I'm out with friends or socially, it's hard not to combine the two. But because it doesn't feel like work, it doesn't feel like it's ever interfering personally. And most people who are on my team, whether it's professionally or personally, they're gaining exposure, they're gaining relationships. If I don't have the answer, I know somebody that does. For example, if you're looking for a dentist, I might not have somebody in this city, but I know a contact who could get that to you, and that's the greatest thing with, the social forums as well. So the Rolodex is just wide open.
Very good.
What? Maria, did you have a follow-up?
No, go ahead.
This is the fun thing, too, with this show, because Maria's not across the desk from me. I mean, she's all the way out in LA, so it's like I go
LA,
to visual
Maria.
Cues.
You need to come visit.
I need to come back there. I do.
Oh, here we go. Everybody wanting to go to LA again. You know what's funny too is we'll throw this in real quick. Is my friend, my good friend Mary Costello, who we worked together on a film we actually shot down in the Detroit area this summer. She is out in LA right now. In fact, showing the film around. So that's really an exciting time at the moment, too. So everybody wants to be on the West Coast right now. And, yes, Jed, talking in the chat room, the West Coast rocks, we know.
Bree, I want to get you out to the West Coast so we can do an event together. I think we can raise a lot of awareness for different causes and what you're doing, and because there's nothing but bad news out there. So it would be beneficial to be able to really do what you're doing and just let it go nationwide in a really loud way.
Right. No, I love that. I mean, we all know what you focus on is what expands.
Mm-hmm.
So if we focus on this positive, wonderful events, organizations, businesses that are going on, then that's what's going to expand.
Mm-hmm.
Bree, I had a quick question for you, and it has to do with being at a young age and launching a company like you did, were you scared? Scared going into it? Were you nervous? Were you apprehensive? Or were you really excited to launch this company? I mean, what was that like starting the company for you?
I would say it's exciting, and I dove in, and how I look at things, whether you relate it to business or, a home that you want, you already don't have something. So there was no such thing as United TV. So it's not like if I went into like 9 or 10 different ideas and only one stuck, it's like then that's one more than I would have had. And I always give this advice to people who want to start off with a field, and you can really relate this to anything you do, in sales even. If you walk into a business, you already don't have it. You've got nothing to lose. So throw it out there. Do your best. If this is what truly brings you joy, and it's exciting. I mean, right now, the company is growing so fast that I'm needing help. I didn't expect this at all. But it's a good problem to have.
Oh, it's definitely a good problem to have, especially with a lot of things that are going on. I would, you know, you're a real inspiration and success story to share with so many people out there who are, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are concerned about, well, what if I follow my passion or dream and this happens? Or what if, you know, people will come up with those excuses and reasons, and particularly in this economy, there's a lot of people saying that, but my opinion is, why not do it right now?
This is the perfect time to do it.
Exactly.
This is the time where we need that unique idea, or we need people to be doing what, you know, they love to be doing, because then it's not really work.
Oh, exactly. And just go out there, create your dream, do it, and go forward. So Bree, 5 years from now, that's another question we like to ask too, is where do you see Bree Wolf 5 years down the line? What's the future hold?
The future holds endless potential. 5 years from now, I hope to find my Prince Charming from a personal standpoint and be a mother by then. But I will always have United as a huge part of me for life. I mean, this is a concept that if you do a Google search right now, we did one the other day, I mean, over 1 billion pages were coming up. And it just brought me such joy because a year and a half ago there was no such thing. And to see it expand, and I want people to want to talk to United. When you see Fox News or ABC, sometimes people may be hesitant because you don't know what story they're covering. I want people to know that when you see United, you want to talk, because anything you want us to ask you, we will. So if you're on the red carpet, instead of, you know, asking, so who are you wearing this evening, maybe someone doesn't want to answer that. Maybe if you ask them, what would you like us to ask you, maybe they have a new movie coming out. Maybe they were affected by someone that, you know, just was diagnosed with prostate cancer and there was a fundraiser going on. If you ask, people will answer, and I want people to be excited about that. So, you know, I'm not looking to be the face of United. I would love to have talent located throughout the United States and maybe even bring this internationally. We just might need to have a different name, because this is all based on the United States. We'd have to have the United Nations, maybe. We can make up another division.
Just keep your mind open. United is actually pretty good to just use internationally.
I agree.
You are uniting us all, and so I think that's a great name. Just keep it and just now expand it and go international.
And we actually formed the entity as United Media LLC, and the U and the M-E, the me, are capitalized. So Y-O-U
Perfect.
And me, M-E, is unity. So if we
have
publications coming out, and, you know, we speak at some different conferences and seminars and things like that to build awareness. The whole goal is these positive media, positive publications, positive news, positive videos, everything where it's accurate, where you know when you watch it, you're hearing right from the horse's mouth. There's no one's opinion. And if you want opinions, you can go on blogs. You can, you know, read different things. This isn't about that. This is about the message from the source.
Very good.
Yeah, and it's interesting what popped up in the chat room, too. You know, we talk about your business, United, and I've been working with 8 other speakers, and we've actually created a conference. We're going to be doing a 4-day conference down in North Carolina coming up here in March of 2011. A holistic conference to really help people in all areas of lives. But it's called the Advancing Your Universe Conference, and the same thing, the U is capitalized. Just an interesting little tidbit there, you know. It's kind of cool.
We can unite. We can bring them together.
There we can. Well, let's talk more about that, and I know we're already going to talk about a few things too, Bree. But we'll chat about that as well. We only have 5 minutes left. Added to the list. 5 minutes left in the show. If you wouldn't mind, people in the chat room have been posting the the website address. But for those who are listening in, particularly live and not in the chat room, but also those who will listen to the archive probably later today or tomorrow, where can people find out more about you and United TV?
Well, there's always Google, and our second largest search engine is YouTube. But our direct website is youniteedtv.com, and we also have a presence on LinkedIn, just like Maria mentioned earlier in the show, Facebook, Twitter, and you can definitely find us in those forums.
Yeah, Bree is all over the place, and you definitely are the networker and the uniter, and I really enjoy that about you. We only, like, the last couple minutes left. Maria, did you have a final question you'd like to ask Bree?
Just Bree, for somebody who wants to bring a story to you so you can speak about that story, how would they do that? Simply by coming to your website? Do they contact you directly? And what kind of stories are do you want to focus on for the end of this year?
Great question. We have different categories that we'll focus on, whether it's fashion, charity, sporting events. So we're really open-minded, and you know, come to us with any story, and you can do that right on our website, www.unitedtv.com. There's a contact us page, and you can put in the subject that you want to cover, where you're located, and we'll come back to you with a proposal and a quote and an idea. I mean, we're doing this concert on Saturday, I mentioned before, Think Pink Rocks, and we're going to have a few different cameras out there. We have the exclusive with VH1 to go backstage to talk to these artists and everything, and I think there's 65 different press outlets, so it's pretty exciting that us, United TV as an internet company, got the exclusive, which VH1 will be our partner in, and it's going to be great. So come to us with any story, any idea. We definitely cater towards elite businesses and events just because we want to keep it upscale. But we love charities, and come to us, and we'll find a way to make it happen.
Bree, thanks so much for joining us today. It's always great talking to you, and you always are so positive and upbeat. It's always great, and I know it comes through on the other end. In fact, you just got a comment in the chat room that you rock, girl. So,
I appreciate it. I'm very grateful to be on the show, and you know, continue looking forward to wonderful things to come.
We will, and like I said, I'm excited to talk to you, and I'm sure that a number of our listeners are excited to talk to you as well. So, Bree, thanks again for joining us, and we will have you on again because we're just having fun with this every time you're on.
That is so wonderful. Continue educating, accomplishing, inspiring, motivating, traveling, teaching, and cheers.
Thanks, Bree. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Well, yes, we'll definitely talk soon, Bree.
I look
Take
forward
care.
To it. Bye, everyone.
Bye, Bree. And that's what we've been doing today on the show, it sounds like. We've been doing a lot of uniting. We've been bringing a lot of people together, a lot of networking with Maria and Bob and Bree, and everybody wants to talk to each other and work together. And it's one of the things I really find important, you know. When you're out there, you have a business, or if you don't have a business, whoever you are, get out there and network and get to know some people. Just talk to people. Find out what it is that they're doing, what it is that they want to do. Show some genuine interest. And it's amazing what connections come out of it, and it's amazing what things happen when you start to have those real personal connections, because you really do want to know what's going on with someone, and you ask those important questions like Bob did. Ask that question. What is it you want to do next? So with 1 minute left, Maria, anything else that you'd like to share before we leave our listeners?
Just to elaborate on that, I mean, even if your focus and your purpose is on something else, especially if you're a little bit further down the line in age, you have a lot more wisdom and you know a lot more people. So who you can connect others to can benefit not just you and not just them, but everybody else that's on the branch, if that makes sense. So, yeah, communicate, talk, because you just never know who you can connect somebody else to.
No, you never know, and that's why we do this show. Check us out every Tuesday here on Blog Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. We are here every week. Join us on Anything But Ordinary Radio. We'll see you all next week. Go out there and be extraordinary. Don't you dare.